of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. During Christ's earthly ministry, he called 12 ordinary men from all walks of life to be his disciples. And then he trained these men, and then he commissioned them and sent them out to continue the work that he had started. However, before he sent them out, in Matthew chapter 9, he tells them about the task that lies ahead. So I want to begin reading now in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here tonight, to thank you for the attentiveness of everyone here. Thank you for the opportunity we have to present the ministry to which you've called us there to Brazil. Father, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would give me the words that you would have me to speak that would be a blessing and encouragement to those that are here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in eastern North Carolina, and it seemed like every year my parents would have a garden. If you've ever had a garden before, you know, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of effort, and, you know, as a teenager growing up in the home, as a child growing up in the home, I never, you know, minded eating what came out of the garden, but I really didn't like all the work that it took to kind of grow everything in the garden. I mean, we would have cucumbers and squash and tomatoes and collards and beans and corn and, you know, just about you name it, and we grew it in the garden. Well, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is referring to a harvest. And you know, if you've had a garden before, you know how busy a time it can be during a harvest. As far as, you know, my dad used to be a pastor in a church, and it seemed like when it was time for the harvest each year, you know, people were just coming in with bags of stuff, you know, cucumbers and tomatoes. You know, the garden was producing more than they could possibly eat, and they would kind of bring it into the church just looking for somebody to kind of take it. You know, they had cans and they had pickled stuff, and they just had, you know, closets full of all kinds of vegetables and things like that. And but when it's time for the harvest, you have to act quickly to avoid losing those things that you've worked so hard to produce. And, you know, you have to, you know, check those tomatoes to make sure, you know, that they're ripe on the vine, that they're ready to be picked. Make sure the cucumbers are just the right length, that you have to, you know, make sure the squash is just the right size. I mean, all these different things that you have to do when it's time for a harvest. Well, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about a harvest. And he tells us a few things about this harvest. He tells us that it's ready, that it's ripe, that it's ready to be gathered. He also tells us that this harvest is plenteous. He tells us that it is abundant. It is overflowing. The harvest is great. Now, the harvest that Jesus is talking about is a harvest of people. People who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just need someone who is willing to tell them. I believe we're going to see here in this passage that there are certain things that are required of us in order to gather this harvest. And the question that I have for you tonight is, are you willing, are you doing your part to gather this harvest? The first thing we see here is that gathering the Lord's harvest requires work. Gathering the Lord's harvest requires work. In verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Yeah, the first thing that we see here is that Jesus gave us an example to follow. Now, this is four verses of Scripture in this passage. In verses 37 and 38, we see what Jesus said about the harvest. But in verses 35 and 36, we see what Jesus himself did in the harvest. In verse 35, we're given just a glimpse into the extensive ministry of Jesus Christ. After he was baptized and he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Jesus began his teaching and preaching ministry as he traveled all throughout Galilee. He traveled from city to city and from village to village, ministering to the needs of people. He taught them about God. He taught them about how they had fallen short of his righteousness. And he taught them about their need for a Savior. He performed many miracles during his travels as well, and those are outlined for us in Matthew's chapter 8 and chapter 9. There are at least 10 miracles that we're told about there in these chapters that Jesus performed. So, you know, he had given us an example to follow of someone who worked and worked hard ministering to the needs of other people. Not only that, but Jesus also, he gave us a task to fulfill. After his resurrection and before his ascension into heaven, Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, this command was given to the disciples, but it applies to all of us as Christians. We are to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, as you leave here tonight, as you walk outside these doors here tonight, you are walking into the Lord's harvest. You are going into that great harvest. And it is our responsibility to share the gospel with a lost and dying world, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in this harvest. Now, you know, a lot of times we can, get busy and, just things are going on and we can kind of lose sight, lose focus of the need for us to be sharing the gospel with other people. And sometimes we can even think, well, you know, Brother Chuck, I just don't really know how to share the gospel with other people. We can maybe become intimidated. What will people think of me? What will they say about me? If I start talking about Jesus Christ, will they think I'm some kind of, freak or something like that as far as just sharing the gospel with them? Or maybe it's, you've just never done that before. You're just not sure what to say. What if they ask me some deep theological question that I don't know how to answer? You know, sometimes it's just as simple as sharing your testimony, sharing what God has done in your life. How did you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? How has Jesus been working in your heart, in your life? I mean, just as something as simple as that. And if you still feel a little uncomfortable with that, I'm sure the pastor would love to, sit down with you, or some other, church leaders here to sit down with you, or to go out with you and to help you, learn how to maybe answer some basic questions, how to get the conversation started. But many times it's just sharing what he has done in our lives. Maybe it's something as simple as, a coworker, talking to them, going out to lunch with them. I mean, even offer to, hey, you want to go out to lunch? I'll even pay for it. Just getting an opportunity to sit down with them to build that relationship that opens the door for you to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Maybe it's in your neighborhood and you're thinking, it's this neighbor I've been intending to talk to for the past 10 years, but never quite got around to going on the other side of the fence. It could be just as simple, invite them into your home, just come there, build that relationship, just to be able to share with them what God has done in your life. But, it requires your time. It requires your effort. But there is no greater reward than seeing souls saved and lives changed for the glory of God. So gathering the Lord's harvest, it requires work. It requires, just like the work that Jesus did here in verse 35, where it talks about him traveling from city to city and village to village, and he was preaching the gospel, he was healing the sick and healing those with diseases. I mean, that was work. I mean, going around to all these different areas and just ministering to the needs of people. It takes our time. It takes our efforts. Building relationships, it takes time, it takes effort. But there is no greater reward than seeing the soul saved and lives changed for the glory of God. So gathering the Lord's harvest requires work. Secondly, gathering the Lord's harvest requires compassion. In verse 36 it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus had compassion because he cared for others. I mean, if you can kind of, just think about what was going on here at the time, is, it's all these miracles that were being performed that we were told about in the scriptures, and just thinking about how, word probably got out about, this guy named Jesus, and, he's raising people from the dead, people that were blind, they can now see, just all this was going on. I'm sure the word had gotten out. And I mean, just think, if you had somebody in your family, maybe somebody that was ill, or you had a child with some disease, or, a parent with leprosy or things like that, you would want to take them to see Jesus. Where is Jesus? Everybody wants to go see Jesus. And also, Jesus was a rabbi, and people had heard about his teachings. People just curious, what is he saying? I want to hear what this Jesus guy, I want to hear what he has to say. But I can just envision, Jesus maybe standing on a hill as he was looking out, and these crowds were coming potentially from miles around just to go see Jesus. I mean, I can imagine they were, you know, burdened down. Maybe some just from the traveling from a long journey. Maybe it was, you know, something where they, you know, they've been burdened down by the rules that the Pharisees had imposed on them, trying to live up to these standards that the Pharisees had come up with. Christ said that they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Their true needs had been neglected. Their souls had not been cared for. They were searching in vain to fill that void, that emptiness that only Jesus Christ could fill. The scriptures say that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Now, compassion is defined as a deep awareness of the sufferings of another, coupled with a desire to relieve it. Christ cared deeply for people. And his heart was stirred as he thought about their spiritual condition, as he thought about their sufferings. His heart was stirred and he was moved with compassion to act. And this isn't the only time the compassion of Christ is mentioned. It was mentioned in Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. It says that Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, we're told that Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. In Luke chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus saw the widow whose son had died, and he had compassion on her and raised her son from the dead. Over and over again, we see the compassion of Christ and how it motivated him to act. You know, with technology today, we can become overwhelmed with information, can't we? I mean, it seems like you can't keep up with everything that's going on. And, you know, you can carry around the smartphones or the tablets or the computers, or, you know, how many times do you have to turn on the local news and you're going to hear about, you know, some murder or some assault or some robbery? Or, you know, you turn on the world news, the national news, and you hear about earthquakes, you hear about fires, you hear about floods all over the world. And we can become inundated with the sufferings and tragedy of people all around us. So much so that we can become indifferent to that suffering, to that tragedy. Where is our compassion? Where is our concern for the lost? Have we become indifferent to those who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need to have that compassion that Jesus had. Jesus had compassion because he cared for others. Jesus also had compassion because he loved others. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was the love of Christ that drove him to the cross. In Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" he responded, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Do you want to know why I believe that we don't have compassion like we should? We just don't love others like we should. We don't think about the fact that every person we encounter is going to spend eternity in one of two places. They're either going to spend eternity in heaven or they're going to spend a Christless eternity in hell. And that needs to grip our hearts. And we need to have that compassion that motivates us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. You know, no matter whether it's in the supermarket line or whether it's the coworker in the cubicle next to you or the neighbor that lives on the other side of the fence, we need to have that compassion that Jesus had that motivates us to act. And many times we can be saying, "Oh, Brother Chuck, you just don't know how busy I am. You know, the kids got music practice, they have soccer practice, you know, I got this long list of things I have to do for work, and you know, the list just goes on and on and on of all the things that I have to do." Well, what is more important than the lives, the eternal souls of those around you? We need to realize what is important and let that love, our love for others, motivate us, that compassion that we have for others, to motivate us to act and to share the gospel with others. You may also be thinking some that, you know, well, if I don't tell them, somebody else will. You know, people, sure, somebody else is going to tell me. I don't have to feel this obligation to tell everybody. But we don't know that. We need to take every opportunity we have when the Holy Spirit, you know, works in our heart, when God opens the door of opportunity for us to share the gospel with others, for us to be willing to walk through that door and to share the gospel with others. So let that compassion motivate us to action. So we see here that gathering the Lord's harvest requires work. It requires compassion. Thirdly, gathering the Lord's harvest requires a willing heart. In verse 37, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Now, this is a short verse, but it makes two profound statements. First of all, is that the harvest is great. I mean, it's great. It's plenteous. It's abundant. I mean, it's estimated right now that there are over 7 billion people in the world. I mean, 7 billion. It's hard to even wrap your mind around how many people that is, but there are literally billions of people who have never heard the name Jesus Christ the first time. And each and every one of us needs to be doing our part to reach out and share the gospel with others. And the second part of this verse tells us that the laborers are few. We need help. We need more laborers. Imagine, if you will, that maybe you're standing in a field of watermelons. I mean, there's watermelons all around. I mean, every side, in front of you, behind you, off to the sides. And it is your job to harvest every single watermelon in that field. I mean, you think, there's no way. I can't harvest all these watermelons. It's just the task is too great. I can't do it. And all of a sudden, this pickup truck comes up, 10 guys hop out of the back and they start helping you pick up these watermelons, put them in the back of the truck. And you're thinking, yeah, this is great. I got this help. I got these 10 more people helping me do this task. And all of a sudden you hear another pickup truck coming from this area and 10 more guys hop out. It's like, they start helping you get these watermelons. You are grateful for every single helper you can get. Well, the same is true in the Lord's harvest. This isn't a job just for your pastor. This isn't a job just for your missionaries. This is a job where we need everybody involved. Everybody matters. Everybody needs to be sharing the good news with those around us. We all need to be involved in this task. But we have to be willing. We have to have a willing heart to allow the Holy Spirit to use us to work for the Lord's honor and glory. I'm sure there are people in the church here who are faithful in witnessing and in sharing the gospel. There are pastors and missionaries all over the world who work countless hours for the cause of Christ, but they need your help. The harvest is great. Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to tell others about Jesus Christ? If God was to call you to a foreign field, are you willing to go? Are you willing to lay aside careers? Are you willing to lay aside belongings and move if that's what God's will is for you? We need to have a willing heart. So gathering the Lord's harvest requires work. It requires compassion. It requires a willing heart. And finally, gathering the Lord's harvest requires prayer. In verse 38 it says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." After telling the disciples about this huge task that there is, after telling the disciples how we're short on laborers, I mean, I don't know if it's me, maybe the engineering background, I'd be thinking, well, we got to divide this task up, we got to conquer it, we got to separate everybody out, send Matthew and Thomas, send them over to Capernaum, send James and John, we're going to send you over to Jerusalem, we're going to divide this task up and start getting this job done. But is that what Jesus tells them to do? No. He tells them to pray. Pray that God will send forth more laborers into his harvest. This is God's harvest, and he is in control. And you can work and you can give it your all, but if you leave God out of it, your labor will be in vain. In Psalm 127, verse 1, it tells that, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." We are to work, and we are to labor, but we are totally dependent on God for the results. God has called us to São Paulo, Brazil. It's a city of over 20 million people. You may be thinking, well, Brother Chuck, what is your plan to reach 20 million people? And the answer is we can't reach 20 million people. I mean, we're going to give it our all. We're going to work as hard as we can to get there and share the gospel and to plant churches, but we are totally dependent on God for the results. And that's where you can definitely help us. You can pray for us. Pray for your other missionaries. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your other church leaders. Pray that God will use you to witness, to share the gospel with someone this week. Christ said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Gathering the Lord's harvest requires work. It requires compassion. It requires a willing heart, and it requires prayer. Are you doing your part? Do you have a sense of urgency about gathering the Lord's harvest? There is no guarantee of another day. There is no guarantee of another opportunity. If God is working in your heart about sharing the gospel with others, do it. If God is working your heart about maybe surrendering your life to full-time ministry, maybe as a pastor, a pastor's wife, as a missionary, you know, whatever it may be, do it. If God is working your heart here this evening about accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do it today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the awesome privilege and responsibility you have given us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Father, I pray tonight that you will use us. I pray that you will burden us with a renewed vision for reaching Berryville, for reaching this area, for reaching Virginia, the United States, and reaching out to the uttermost part of the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that each one of us here tonight, that we will see the need to be working harder, to have a compassion for others, to have a willing heart, and to be involved in prayer. Father, I pray that you would just use us in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have had good challenges from Brother Evans all day, and I trust the Lord will use those to refresh in your mind the opportunities that God has before us. And perhaps tonight there's somebody the Lord will speak to your heart, and you'll be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And as he's mentioned tonight, those things that it requires to reach the harvest are things that we have to do. And that's just a willingness to surrender to him. And so we're going to finish tonight by just taking a moment. We're going to play through a stanza of the song, I Surrender All. And as we do that, I'm going to ask you, just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to refocus. Or perhaps the Lord will call someone to a mission field. Maybe the Lord wants you to surrender to that. I hope you'll be willing to do that. Let's go ahead and stand together, please. And with our heads bowed as we play through the song, if God is dealing with you, will you just talk to him, make sure things are settled between you and the Lord? You can look this way, and as always, I trust God is working in you, and you'll be willing to surrender him. I'm going to let the Evans go ahead and make their way out to the foyer so you can talk with them. And just an update, I mentioned this morning to pray for Mike Porozich. I saw him this afternoon, and he looks fine, but it is a pretty complicated procedure they're going to have to do on him, and they have not scheduled that yet. They may do it tomorrow morning, but they don't know that. They may find out tonight. But just they have to go into his heart and try to cauterize some pulses that are coming from electrical impulses, and it's a really unusual surgery that they have to try to do. And so pray for them and for Melissa. They're both doing well, and we'll keep you up to date as things happen with them. Let's go ahead and pray, and then you can be dismissed. Father, thank you for the scripture we've had the privilege of looking at today, and I pray you'll help us to continue to surrender ourselves to your will. And Lord, I pray throughout the week that you'll help us to look for opportunities to invite people to hear the gospel and to share the gospel with them. Lord, I thank you as we look around and we see people that are coming because others have been reaching out to them. And I pray that you'll continue to use us to impact the circle of friends that we have. Thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.